Amen. 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 Let's go to John 3. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. I believe I'm in the King James. Why don't you read along with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. We have to remember that we're not out there to condemn anybody, any race, any life. We're out there to condemn anybody, but to lead them. Our love for Christ towards them should want cause them to want that same love. That's our purpose, folks. If we don't do that, God doesn't need us. I mean, that's what it is. But I was sitting down last night, just reading. Sometimes I'm just getting quiet and looking for a particular direction, I may sit down and just grab my Bible and just open it and just start reading. It's just something I do every now and then. You know, sometimes God will say something to me and I'll just write it down. I have a whole list of things that he said to me. I know eventually they'll become messages, so I always look at those first, and nothing's registering. So I'm just sitting down and reading. And I was reading something in it that just clicked. And, you know, I think Arsenio Hall says things that make you go, right? And I was reading and I was going, okay, I never thought of that. But then again, every time he does something like that, it's something I never thought of, right? So we're going to realize that we have to learn what to say, okay? Because, because too many times we just release words for a variety of reasons, and we're going to talk about some of them. So get rough. It may pinch a little bit in the beginning, but I guarantee you it's not going to stay that way. And as always, I put, anytime God gives me something, I turn it on me first, and I run a quick diagnostic, if you will, with me, and I realize that I've been guilty. I've been guilty. But we're going to start out with in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. I'm going to share this in the easy-to-read version. But there's something that God showed me in here, naturally, that he never showed me before. It says, rain and snow fall from the sky and don't return until they have watered the ground. Then the ground causes the plants to sprout and grow, and they produce seeds for the farmer and food for the people to eat. In the same way, my words leave my mouth, and they don't come back without results. My words make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I send them to do. Now just think about that. Rain and snow have a God-ordained purpose. You know, and it's not to just make people rich moving it. Okay? rain and snow water the ground. Well, when they water the ground, now the ground can cause plants to grow. And when the plants grow and sprout, we have food. But it does something else. Those plants also produce seeds, which can be planted, which produce more crops, so we can continue to eat. So the rain is a catalyst, and it starts a process of provision and reproduction. It provides and it keeps on providing. That's what God said the rain causes. Now, the ground, and you know, that then causes plants to sprout and grow, and those plants produce seed, and that cycle just continues. And so when you look at that scripture, you'll realize that that cycle wouldn't begin unless it rained or snowed. Verse 11, in the same way, my words leave my mouth. They don't come back without results. My words make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I send them to do. God is telling us that just like the rain and snow, our words are a catalyst. And it will cause things to grow, produce, and reproduce. And too many of us have been the subject or the beneficiary, that's not even a good word, the victim of words that we have spoken that are producing in our lives. And we don't understand why. We're going to find out, because it's, how many of you know that the enemy does subtle things? Okay. So see, in order to understand that, we have to understand that God said death and life are in the power of the tongue, are in the power of what you say. And if you're not saying the right things, you're not going to get what God wants for you. That's something very important to remember. It's about what God wants for us and not what we want for us. We understand the scripture in Mark, you know, that says you'll have what you say and speak to the mountain. But while we're good at speaking, we're not always mindful about what we're speaking. Or to just put it to you, just put it out there, we're not even thinking about sometimes what we're saying. And we just say it. That's what we do. Turn your name, say, I think he's talking about you. Okay. All right. Okay. Listen. Too often, all right, too often, especially when it comes to what we say, we lean to our own understanding, our own feelings, our own knowledge, our own emotions, our own memories, our own past, our own hurts. And we let those things dictate what we say. We'll let what we're going through dictate what we say. Say, no, I was wrong. He's talking about me. Okay. See, we have what we like to call heated moments. And in those heated moments, we allow words to fly around. Yeah, later on we may regret them, but the bottom line is we've already put them out there. And really, heated moments is a nice way to say that we've just committed an ungodly action, when you think about it. Because according to James 3, we don't have heated moments. We have contentions, rivalries, and selfish ambitions. Okay, why don't you turn here, James 3. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. James 3, verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contentions, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. So when we have those moments of jealousy, envy, etc., what we're actually doing is we're releasing words that start a cycle. And that cycle produces confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, every evil, vile thing. And nobody wants to go through that, but too often we find ourselves there. We find ourselves at odds with one another, and we don't know what's happened. How many of you, don't raise your hand, you can just laugh or say amen, but How many of you have encountered someone when you saw them coming? Okay. You said, oh man, this person always annoys me. Okay. You know, I said, I got to deal with them again. And it happens, you get that feeling every single time. And you say, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. And before he could answer, we say, I can't stand them. I know I'm supposed to love them, but I'll love them from a distance. Something, you know. And that keeps happening. Why? We keep saying those words. And we've created a cycle where it's reproducing itself. And for your entire lifetime, every time you see this person, you just tense up. And you're wondering why. Because of what you have been saying. That's why God doesn't like murmuring. Because when we're murmuring, we're releasing words that are causing a vicious cycle to begin. And we're not having what God says we should have. We're having what the enemy wants us to have. Because we're making comments based on our own understanding, our own feelings, our own emotions, our own likes, our dislikes, our preferences, our circumstance, whatever it is, we'll make a comment and not even take a minute to find out what God says. How do you believe in the Word of God? Okay. So why aren't we saying it? I mean, that's a question that I had to ask myself. Because I didn't handle something well concerning Deacon Phyllis. I allowed myself to get emotional. Great man of God. Full of faith and love. Okay. And I'm not saying that to make light of it. I'm just telling I'm being transparent with you. Just then everything was going fine. And in the moment, something was said and boom. I'm like, that shouldn't happen. And I'm going to tell you, show you something in a minute, and you're going to find out really why it shouldn't happen. But, you know, I use the term alleged generational curses. That's why people are plagued with them, because they're saying, this is what happens in my family. My great-great-great-great-grandfather had it. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, my uncle, my cousin, three times removed. Everybody's had this thing, you know, and after all, they say it sometimes skips a generation, you know, so it skipped that generation and it just fell on me. That's what's going to happen. I guess I'm going to have to just believe God. You just put fertilizer on the cycle and didn't even realize it. You say, well, but that's the way it is. But that's not God. What God wants. That's not, we love the Word of God. That's not the Word of God for you. Where in God's Word does it say, and thou shalt be plagued with generational curses? He doesn't say that. But I do believe he said, with his stripes, you were healed. Why not just say that? Because when we say that, we are saying what God says. Because God's word doesn't return to him void. He didn't say our words won't return to him void. His words will accomplish what he wants. Our words won't accomplish what he wants. Because I found out that when we are speaking, when we are not speaking what God said, we're speaking ungodly words, even if it's the truth. Even if it's the truth, it's ungodly. The person could have wronged you. That's the truth. Talking about it to everybody you meet is ungodly. Ungodly. Even saying that the person is whatever you say they are is ungodly.
ungodly, because God said, call those things that be not, so they were. So we have to get to the place where
no matter what happens, we're going to say what God says, period. And only what God said, because he said that he will make the things happen, his words will make the things that he wants to happen, happen. I saw something today, it was really kind of creepy, cryptic, whatever the word is, but it's true. We all know that Robin Williams died recently. Well, in one of his movies, he said, I don't know if, I guess he was in a hospital bed or something, but he said, they will put on my tombstone 1951 to 2014. That's what he said in the movie. They will put on my tombstone 1951 to 2014. He was born in 1951 and he died in 2014. That's what he said. So who determines our speech and what we say? Before I tell you that, you need to hear this. I looked up the word ungodly because I wanted to know what the Bible says it means. Destitute of reverential awe towards God. So when we release words based on what we feel, based on what we're going through, we've lost our reverence for God. In that moment, we just flat out didn't care what God said. We only cared what that person did or said or what I'm feeling. And we need to check ourselves on that. Because it's too important. It's too important, folks. In order for us to receive everything God said, we have to say everything God is saying. Regardless of what we need to have spiritual blinders on, so to speak, where all we can see is what God said. In Exodus, and this is what I was reading that triggered all of us. In Exodus 4, of course, this is after Moses had the burning bush experience and God called him and was giving him instructions, and Moses was giving God all the reasons why he couldn't do it. And then God said something to Moses in verse 12, and that's what got my attention. He said, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. The contemporary English version says, now go. When you speak, I will be with you and give you the words to say. And the voice says, go now, and I will be there to give you the words to speak. I will tell you what to say. That's what God was telling Moses. Now, think about this. He was sending Moses to a rock and a hard place. That's the way I looked at it. The reason I say that is because Moses first had to go and tell the Israelites that God said he was the one. And Moses was like, they ain't going to believe me. Okay. And then he had to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he's like, ain't no way Pharaoh's going to believe me. But God said, no, you go. I will tell you what to say. Why? Because what God wanted to happen would only happen if Moses spoke the words that God spoke. If Moses went on there and spoke on his own, they'd still be in Egypt and still be captive. But Moses had to be taught by God in every situation what to say. When he went to his own people, and when he went to their captors, he still had to rely on God. When his people didn't receive him, God told him what to do. When the captors wouldn't listen, God told him what to do. He did what God said. He said what God said. And God got what he wanted. God's word concerning them didn't return to God void. What would have happened if Moses didn't do it? See, that's why it was so critical when Moses spoke harshly to the people. God didn't say that. Over in the New Testament, we look at John 8.
Then said Jesus unto them,
when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now, why would Jesus say that? Because God sent him here for a specific purpose. He wanted to get all of us back. The only way that was going to happen is if God's word went forth. So Jesus, regardless of, like Moses, regardless of what was going on, regardless of what was being said or done, he had to say exactly what God said. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. If God said it, Jesus said it. If God told him to do it, Jesus did it. Without exception. So if he did it, then we know that it's possible that we can do the same thing. But we have to allow ourselves to be taught. In the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself on my own accord or on my own authority, but I say exactly what my Father has taught me. In the voice, he said, I will be clear then that I am not acting alone, but that I am speaking the things I have learned directly from the Father. So, if I taught you something to say and you wouldn't said it, whose words are you speaking? Right. So it'd be the same as if I'm saying it. That's what Jesus is trying to let us know. When we go to God and let God tell us what words to release, and we release those words, that situation, that condition, that circumstance, as far as it's concerned, God is speaking directly to it. And guess what? The results God wants, we get. But we have to find out what he wants said in every situation. We can't afford to have a canned response to anything. He's saying, okay, I have an infirmity. Immediately, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I'm healed. I'm not saying that that's not, you know, that that's wrong. But if that's not what God told you to say, that's not going to work for you. You need to find out what God wants you to say. He may ask you to say something else. He may just ask you to say, thank you, God. You healed me. Whatever it is. He told me to say every waking moment. He gave me something to say. And I said it every waking moment. As a matter of fact, I was even saying it in my sleep according to the nurses. And when I found myself in a hospital all those times a couple of years ago, the main reason was not because prednisone was sending my blood pressure sky high. The main reason is because I was saying prednisone is sending my blood pressure sky high. And I started a cycle. I would say, 1 minute I'm sitting down, and then just like you flip a switch, bang, it pops up. So guess what? 1 minute I'm sitting down and everything is fine. The next second, bang, runaway numbers. And then one day it hit me and I'm like, aha, fool, what are you saying? I mean, it just clicked. And I immediately changed my confession. And that fast, I was out of the hospital. And at family day, the first family day. Not on the same seven medicines that I was on when they first took me in, that wasn't working. All of a sudden, they think, oh, it's medicine's kicking in. I said, no, that's not what it is. I remembered who I am. That's what kicked in. I stopped being afraid of what I was feeling. Some of you need to hear what I just said. Okay, I stopped being afraid of what I was feeling because what I was feeling was causing me to remember the reputation of high blood pressure. And I was fearing the reputation. And I had to let myself know that before I was in Christ, I wasn't scared anybody anywhere for any reason. And Jesus didn't die so I could be a sissy Christian. And I'm like, I'm not afraid of you anymore. No. And I told you the story how I was pounding and screaming at it, and they're telling me to calm down. I'm yelling at them, I am calm. You know, I was just stirred up and worked up because I had had enough. So we need to make sure that we're saying God's word. When he says go into the world and preach the gospel, he's saying go into the world and tell the people what I tell you to say to them. Too many people have got that wrong. They go into the world and say, you're a sinner. You're going to go right to hell. The person's like, okay, I love God. No, I don't think so. They'll go where they're accepted and who readily accepts them however they are. The world will accept people in any condition except if they're a Christian. You can be anything else and they'll open their arms, make a law for you and everything. Okay. But you tell them that you're a believer. Mm-mm. No, that won't fly with them. The Message Bible says, you know, talking about Mark 16, said, go into the world, go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news. Well, if I give you a message and you announce it, whose words are they? I mean, that's what it is. He's not giving you a message to go out and you give the people your interpretation of what he said. Remember, Jesus said, I say exactly what my Father says. In John 12, he repeats it. And I'm almost done because this isn't going to take long. Starting with verse 47. Says, if anyone hears what I'm saying and doesn't take it seriously, I don't reject them. I didn't come to reject the world. I came to save the world. But you need to know that whoever puts me off, refusing to take in what I am saying, is willfully choosing rejection. The word was made flesh that I have spoken, and that I am that word, and no other is the last word. I'm not making any of this up on my own. The Father who sent me gave me orders, told me what to say and how to say it. And I know exactly what his command produces, real and eternal life. Well, see, there's that cycle with the snow and the rain watering. It's producing and reproducing. And he's saying, that's what my Father's word is designed to do. Produce life. And reproduce life. Where? Right into eternity. But it has to be God's word. It cannot be our words. And he said, that's all I have to say. What the Father told me, I tell you. And that's the way we have to be with everything. What the Father tells us, that's what we say. And we don't add anything to it. The Amplified Bible, verse 4, also verse 49, it says, "This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or on my own accord or as self-appointed. But the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell." And again, he mentions the cycle. "And I know that his commandment is eternal life." He said, "I know it. So whatever I speak," he says, "whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions." And that's what we have, the place that we have to get to. No matter what we're feeling, no matter what someone said, didn't say, whatever the reason, we have to get to the place where we will allow ourselves to hear exactly what God wants us to say and then say it. And only that. And don't concern yourself if folks don't receive it. Jesus didn't. His responsibility was to say what God said. Our responsibility is to say what God said. There's no difference. When we say what God said, we get what God wants. He wants us whole. He wants us healthy, wealthy, and full of godly wisdom. That's what he wants. How do we get it? By saying what he says. Period. Not by saying what is. Stop walking around talking about what you don't have, what you can't do. I was talking to someone about that today. Forget about what you can't do. Talk about what you're doing. What you can't doesn't matter. Hey, I used to go to the park. You know those checker tables they have in the park? How high are they off the ground, would you say? 3 feet, 3.5 feet. I'd go and just stand right next to it and go like this and jump on top of it. I'd go to the park bench, Ken, and I would just jump up, jump off, jump up, jump off, jump up, jump off. Like it was no big deal. I'm not worried that I'm not doing that at 63. I don't need to do it now. If I need someone to do it, I'll find someone and say, "Jump up on there and jump back down." Okay. But I don't go around upset. I have no more ups. Age and gravity did me in. Okay. No, I'm enjoying the season of my life. I know that I can, I don't care how old I get, I can always do whatever it is that God told me to do. You know why? Because it's his responsibility to get what he wants. So if he tells me to say it and I say it, he has to give me the ability to say it. If he tells me to do it and I'm going to do it, he has to give me the ability to do it. I don't have to think of, all I have to do is remember what it was that he said. That's all I have to do. And that's all you have to do. Remember what he told you to do. Remember what he told you to say. And that's it. Don't think about anything else. Doesn't matter if you're in a power chair with a cane, without a cane, no arms and legs. It none of that matters. All that matters is, what did God tell you to say? What did God tell you to do? Are you saying it? Are you doing it? Or are you acting based on how you feel? Are you acting based on what you know? Are you acting based on your history? That's the question that you're the only ones that can answer. I can only answer it for me. I can't answer that question for you. We need to understand and have a made-up mind that when something comes that's contrary to what God said, you are not going to be moved. That's what it all boils down to. Jesus could have, and he said it, and I believed him. He said, I could right now call down 12 legions of angels. He's like, I don't have to go through this. I have enough juice that I can make all of this go away. He said, but then how will the scriptures be fulfilled? But you could say, but then how will Father get what he wants? We can't have it both ways. We can't give ourselves what we want and what God wants unless we decide that we only want what God wants for us. That's the only way that'll happen. We're going to have to forget about, you know, our five-year plan, our two-year plan, our next week plan, whatever plan you have, and realize, what is it that God is asking me to do now? And do that. One of the things is, it's very hard, almost impossible, to convince me or Pastor Ed that God told you to do something and nothing's happening but just making you a mockery of his word. Because God's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He does things to get glory. He does things because he wants to attract people to him, not cause people to say, I don't want any part of that, if that's what being a Christian is. And the only way that's going to happen is if we start saying what he says, because then we'll start having what he says that we should have. We'll start doing what he says we should be doing, because we understand that his words mean eternal life. I don't know how else to say it, folks. God gave us the pattern, the principle. Rain comes down, waters the earth. It's a catalyst. Because the rain and snow watered the earth was able to produce. And what it produced sustained and reproduced so it can continue to sustain. He said, in the same way, so is his word that comes forth from his mouth. It will not return to him void. It will cause everything he wants to happen. And he said, above all things, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's what he said. So that's what we need to say. And find out, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do so that I prosper and stay in health? God, you said it was even as my soul prosper. What is it I need to be doing that will cause my soul to continue to prosper? Because as my soul prospers, so will everything else. Or are we just going out looking after money? This has been a good time, Pastor, for me to bring in those glasses. I found a big pair of sunglasses that had dollar signs on them. Okay. But that's where some folks get into trouble. They're looking for things, and God wants us to go after him. Because he's the one that said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and what will he do? He'll add. So if God says that he will add things to us, why are we getting ourselves bent out of shape going out after them? Why are we wasting time that we should be doing the things God called us to do, looking for ways to get things, when God said, just seek me first. Seek my kingdom first. I'll give you all this stuff. That should tell us where our priorities should be. Please. Please remember this. God's word makes the things happen that he wants to happen. You speaking God's word, the specific word that he said to you, because Jesus said, I say exactly what my Father has taught me. That means God had told him things to say. You concentrate on doing that and watch how much better your life is. You just watch. I'm going to close by reading this last scripture again, and then I'm done. In John 12, in the Amplified Bible. In fact, I'll start with verse 48 and go right to the end. Anyone who rejects me and persistently sets me at naught, refusing to accept my teachings, has his judge. However, for the very message that I have spoken will itself judge and convict him at the last day. This is because I have never spoken on my own authority or of my own accord or as self-appointed, but the Father who sent me has himself given me orders concerning what to say and what to tell, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. So whatever I speak, I am saying exactly what my Father has told me to say and in accordance with his instructions. Folks, say, I will say
exactly
what God tells me to say in every situation, in accordance with his instructions. Because I want the same things God wants for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm finished. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, for this time of Bible study. Thank you, Father, for revealing to us the things that we need to do so we can properly represent you as your children, so we can be the proper examples of your children, so we can show this dying world just what it means to be your children. Father, we thank you and we ask your forgiveness. We ask your forgiveness, Lord, for the times we went off on our own and we released ungodly words, and we've been reaping and causing folks to reap the fruit of those words. Well, Father, we're reversing that tonight in Jesus' name. And from this night on, we're committed to only saying those things that you have told us to say, that you have taught us to say. We rebuke and cast down any word that we spoke that was not of you, and we start replacing it now by saying what you tell us to say. Because your words, in order for your words to not return to you void, it has to override the other things that we've said. So we thank you, Lord, that you have given us another opportunity to get this thing right. And we're going to get this thing right, Lord. Because there's a world out there, and especially when we look at the immediate times, we know now more than ever, your children need to stand out and stand out strongly, being examples of what it means to be a child of the Most High God. And then the world will know that we have the answer, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.